Hello everybody and welcome back to an episode of the Cinematic Trinity. This week we're doing something a little bit different. We've watched quite a lot of films and TV shows over the last week.
Yep.
And we sort of thought we don't really have enough to talk about just one of those shows. Like, we can't talk about one for a whole episode. So we thought we'll start a new segment. I wonder how many times we'll actually do this segment, but it's going to be called Previously On, where we just talk about what we've watched over the last week and just give general thoughts and feelings of it. So Let's get into it.
So yeah, me and Tulip were on a week's holiday, hence why there was no podcast episode last week. But yeah, we actually ended up watching a whole bunch of stuff. So
yeah, we did. We watched loads of different things.
Yeah,
loads of new things as well.
Yeah, yeah, Watched a few. We watched one new film from this year, and then a couple of like older films which we hadn't seen before, or we like rewatched. If you see what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, and also to be fair, we'll give props to someone else, which we'll go through first of all. And we watched the Gentleman TV series on Netflix, which is a 2024 release.
That is a very new release. But yeah, I still don't think that we could have done like a whole episode on it.
No.
So I think it's... do you think it was as good as the films?
As the charm of the movies, I think. I mean, I like the Gentleman movie, the one by Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, that's agree now.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's absolutely fantastic, the film.
Yeah.
And do you remember when we went to watch it at the cinema? Was that one of like the it was right before COVID, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
It was probably one of the last things, or was Parasite the very last thing that we saw?
Yeah, Parasite was the last thing, yeah.
This was like the second to last thing. And I had no idea what to expect. And at the end of the trailer, it says, and Hugh Grant. So I just thought, oh, he's going to have a little bit part, not really in it that much. And then I was like, he was in it loads. And I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. This is just what I wanted to see. Anyway, that's another story. But yes, you're right that it has the same charm, but just not the same, like, obviously it's not the same story, but like the storyline just like wasn't as good, I think.
I think Guy Ritchie in like movie format is all right because it's kind of short burst, but this was like an 8 hour, maybe probably even like 9-10 hour TV show. So you're kind of like stuck with all the Guy Ritchie-isms of like how they explain points and stuff and just complexity of the dialogue, which again, I really like in like his movies. I like Snatch, I like Lock, Stock, I like The Gentleman, I like his gangster films. But this was just a bit like, we just couldn't like binge it. We had to like do two episodes at a time or even like one episode at a time and just be like, right, I'm calling it for the day. Like, that's
it does kind of grate on you, I think, especially the woman who's in it. Who's kind of the main gangster
like the
woman.
What's
her name?
I don't know.
Sally Buttons or something.
Sally Buttons. Oh,
I can't
too
remember. So her name. But in Gentleman, the film, there's the woman in there. Again, I don't know what she's called, but it's
Matthew McConaughey's
wife.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the girl in the TV show is doing an impression of her. And so all I could think was, she's trying to be this woman and it's just not... I mean, it works. Like, she can do it actually quite well in the language and stuff, but all the sentences are so extremely long that it's like you have to go all around the houses just to get to the point.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I can't... I don't even know why I was about to try and do it because I can't think of a line to say, but it's very much, well, I don't know why you're over here. I don't know what you think you're doing with my weed. Like, what? It's just too long sometimes.
It's just kind of like, I don't really think you've taken the chance to express the frustration with the facility of this situation and the circumstances from which you find yourself in. that's like how Guy Ritchie or that dialogue normally goes, you know? It's like,
yeah, you're that was dead
on. We didn't like the brother in it.
He was just really annoying, wasn't he? Freddie. And it's like, sometimes with characters, it's like, oh, it's good because it means they're acting well and they're written well because they're really annoying. But it's also like, oh God, I just can't be bothered with this annoying character who just keeps causing problems.
He was a flawed character, but then he just never really stopped being flawed.
There wasn't a point where I thought, oh, I have empathy for him.
It was just
continual annoyance. And that it just didn't really come off very well. So that was the main takeaway.
The performances have been across the board are quite good. Like, the characters they do get into it are really good. Like, the main
and
guy.
And the outfits are absolutely fantastic. I know nobody else cares other than me, but everything that they're wearing is absolutely mm-hmm. lovely. Like some really good costumes, really good like set design, yeah. all that sort of stuff. Like props to those guys who do all of that, because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I think, to be fair, the story, like if they're going to do more stuff in the future with the show, like I'll be interested to see where it goes. Like if it's the same characters, if they move on to like different people, because like they... thing they kind of maintain from the movies is that there's this drug cartel who uses the like estates of people, like wealthy people, to grow their weed on, like in a secret operation. And it's basically the lead character in this, Eddie, takes on his father's estate after he dies, and that's when he's like, oh, there's people mm-hmm. growing weed on this bit yeah. of land, and it's him trying to like get them off the land, but then also he goes down the route of becoming, you know, a bad guy, a gangster.
He takes to it like a duck to water, doesn't he, with all the gangster life.
So there's some good like set pieces, there's some good funny bits in the show. So I'd still recommend watching it.
But would you recommend
I'd recommend it. It's just, again, maybe you might find yourself watching it in bursts rather than doing like a binge.
If you like Guy Ritchie films and you liked The Gentlemen, then you will probably like this.
Oh, yeah,
maybe
definitely.
Not as much as Gentlemen the film, mm-hmm. but I do think it is still worth a watch.
Yeah. To stay on the bandwagon of Netflix properties, you fell asleep during this, but...
Great. But, yeah. So you're going to talk for 10 minutes.
I'm
going to
give my brief thoughts. I watched, we went one holiday, first day, we watched Damsel, which was the Millie Bobby Brown fantasy.
Yes, another new thing, current thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's the fantasy epic starring Millie Bobby Brown, who plays this princess called Elodie, who marries into this royal family who have like this weird debt with like a dragon where they have to like sacrifice people every couple of generations or whatever, and she, you know, gets pushed down this pit, has to escape the dragon, and like antics ensue.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a big fan of it, really.
Yeah, of course I can't really say much because I fell asleep, but it was all quite... like, I mean, obviously it didn't catch my attention that much be able to stay awake from it, but... I only caught the beginning before she got thrown down into the pit. Yeah. So I probably watched like the worst bit of it, maybe. I don't know whether that... but I'm right.
It's all set up. You watch the setup.
I watched the setup.
Because I remember thinking, because you fell asleep and I was like, oh God, it's been like 40 minutes and she's not been thrown into
this. Yeah, I think I was just waiting for her to go down into the pit. And it was only a short film. It was only like an hour and a half or so. Yeah. That's why we watched it, because it was only an hour and a half. But yeah, it was really weird that it took so long for her to go down there. So but it was just, I know that she's British in real life and I like it when she talks all British, because I know there's this whole thing about her accent going on. Like if she's with American people, then she just pretty much talks in an American accent. If she's with British people, she talks in a British accent. But I know that she's British, but it was so like exaggerated. It's like, oh, mummy, shall we go over here now? And do you want to marry this man? Yeah. Like, and I know that it's all part of it, but I was just like, oh, God, this is awful. Yeah, when it's serious.
Yeah,
it wasn't like ironic or trying to take the mick out of fairy tale film, so it's like funny. It's all like deadly serious, and it's like, oh, this is not for me.
Yeah, I think the actual like the premise could have been very good, because I like the whole like, oh, this family's a bit dodgy, like there's this, you know, blood debt or whatever. So like, the actual like premise was good, and I didn't mind the bits in the cave where she's being like resourceful and she's like doing all this stuff, and like she comes across this cave with all these like glowing worms and stuff, so she like puts a bunch of them in like a bit of fabric and that makes a torch for her to like go round in. So I'm like, oh, that's very smart, but then like it just didn't really capture me. There was like sprinkles here, but like for the most part, like, this is just not it's just a bit boring, really. Or a bit like, this is going to happen next.
Predictable.
Yeah. So, and it just kind of ends on a bit of a boring note. Like all the, like, you know.
Are you spoiling it?
Here's the spoilers if you...
Spoilers!
So, you know, gets to the end of the movie. She's teamed up with the dragon in the end, because it turns out that, like, you know, she basically says, look, I got tricked into this as well. Like, you're being tricked, because you're not actually killing members of this royal family. You're killing the wives who keep marrying
in. Yeah, yeah.
So they don't have to actually sacrifice any of their bloodline. So they team up, and then she, you know, just gives a bit of a speech like, this is the end of your story. And then the dragon burns the kingdom to the ground. The king doesn't say a single word in the movie. It's all Robin Wright's character, who plays the queen. And I like
Ray Winston.
No.
Robin. Yeah.
Robin Wright's like the king in the movie. That she plays the queen. So, you know, Jenny from Forrest Gump. Her husband
you
doesn't
didn't
say
like
anything.
Jenny, didn't you?
No, I don't like Jenny. I don't like Jenny's the worst part of the movie Forrest mm-hmm. Gump.
Yeah,
which I'm sure you could probably agree.
Winds you up every time.
Do you not like? This is going on tangent. Do you not like?
She is very annoying, and she uses him, doesn't she?
Yeah,
and I think
yeah.
that's really sad. But it doesn't like get to me. Like every time I go to watch Forrest Gump, you're just like, oh god, I hate Jenny. Oh, Jenny's so annoying. I don't know how you can watch this film because Jenny's such an annoying character.
Yeah, Jenny. You know, Jenny is annoying. Like, so I like the Family Guy sketch where it's just like Forrest Gump being like, okay, Jenny, and then it just gets to the end. It's like, Forrest, I'm gonna, you know, I need you to take care of my son now. I'm dying, and he's like, okay, Jenny, I'll take care of the AIDS baby, and it's and then she just dies and leaves Forrest with this kid. So it's just a bit, I don't know. But anyway, she's the bad guy. She gets a few, like, you know, she's not doing much here, but, like, you know, I still like her as an actress. But then, yeah, she gets killed. Millie Bobby Brown teams up with the dragon. Then it's all, they all, like, go off into the sunset. Just a bit of a boring ending. I gave it, like, a 4 out of 10 just because, again, I like the premise. The world could have been interesting if it was a bit fleshed out. I don't even know. And some of the antics in the KU I liked, but overall it was just a bit, you know, you could miss it. You could definitely miss this one and
so
not bother.
So you wouldn't recommend
No, I
this.
Would not recommend watching Damsel. I say it's a
that
4
a
out of 10.
That is a hot take, Michael.
No, it's not, because I'm pretty sure the internet is of the same opinion as me. But
yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. So moving on, we'll stick on the Netflix train here, but this is a movie from like 4 or 5 years ago, which you really enjoyed and I hadn't watched before, and it was Run, starring Sarah Paulson.
Yes, and we do love Sarah Paulson because we really love her in The People vs. O.J. Simpson, which we watch at least once a year, and I'll look forward to watching it again in... have we already watched it this year?
No, we have not, no.
No. I'll look forward to watching it in 2024 then, and we do love Sarah Paulson, and she's absolutely brilliant in this film. Like, this was such a surprise, but the reason why we watched it is because if anybody else is on TikTok, you've probably got the clips of the girl in the pharmacy trying to, like, oh, I'm playing a game with my mum and I need to know what this medicine is, blah, 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 blah. And we kept getting these clips up. Mm-hmm. And Michael says, oh, do you want to watch this film? I've been getting clips up on TikTok. And I was like, oh my God, we're, you know, separately doing exactly the same thing of watching these clips. But the film is genuinely brilliant. Like,
good,
I thought that it was really, really good. And again, no spoilers. I'm not going to spoil it because I think it's better to watch it without having known anything. But essentially the premise is Sarah Paulson and her daughter, it's just them two that the story is about. And her daughter's not very well. And I don't think it's spoiling it to say, because that happens very early on in the film, that her daughter sort of realises that maybe it's her mum who is causing her to be ill, basically. And it's just all about her finding out and going through this. And it is a thriller.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, and it is. It's just really good. And I just think Sarah Paulson is just so good at it. Like, you wouldn't expect from a film like this for there to be, like, top-notch acting or anything like that. Like, it's not really that kind of film where it's like, oh, everybody's got to be on point. But she was really good in it. Like, I think it was really believable and she was, like, really scary.
Yeah.
And I was drawn to it. I was on the edge of my seat. It was absolutely brilliant. I really, really enjoyed it.
And again, so it's like another hour and a half romp, you know? Like, it's
we're
good.
We're sick of watching ridiculously long films. Like, why is every film 2.5 hours? We just need short and snappy thrillers.
But yeah, there's like, the central storyline of it's really interesting. And like, again, like the daughter learning more stuff as the movie goes on is really interesting to watch, and there's like a few sort of twists and turns and like a few nail biting like tension moments which are really good. That's one I'd highly recommend watching it.
I don't want to really say any more than that.
No, we won't go into spoilers on that.
I don't want to say any more because if you've not seen it, I would just say just watch it and just go in blind to it because it is just really
cute.
So I mean, what's the overall rating on that? What do other people say? Do other people think it's good, or is it just us that are crazy?
So for context, I gave it a 7 out of 10 for this. I couldn't really tell you what my gripes really were, but it's not one that blew me away. It's just
I would have said a solid 9.
A 9, okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I think there are good, you know, overall it's a good thing. Like, there's a lot of good things. It just really didn't knock my socks off or anything. It is just standard kind of thriller thing. It does what it needs to do.
I think maybe if you've not... Oh, sorry, yawning. Maybe if you've not seen a lot of films like this, then it will like blow you away. But if you watch a lot of thrillers and you're like, oh, I see films like this all the time, then maybe it won't. But I still think you can appreciate Sarah Paulson.
So it averages to around a 6 or a 7 out of 10 on Letterboxd.
Hmm.
3.2 is what it's got. So yeah, again, just run-of-the-mill average kind of thing, but it's still good. Because, yeah, Sarah Paulson's just good in it. So like her performance really boosts it. She's
brilliant. Like, I really love that. I really rate her as an actress and as a person.
I think she's one of those ones that just, you know, she's good and like just brings
She's really unproblematic.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Not that it like affects me personally. But
no.
Yeah, she's really good. I really like her.
But yeah, I'd give it a 7. You'd give it a 9.
I'd give it a 9.
Moving on to the next film. Sticking on to the thriller train. I'll just keep saying that. I'll keep sticking on to either the Netflix or the thriller train.
Yeah.
this is one that I've watched before, but I really wanted to get Tulip to watch, and it's been like a good, trying to get you to watch it, it's been a good while. 10 Cloverfield Lane,
mm-hmm.
which again is another thriller movie, which is set in the Cloverfield universe, but like all the Cloverfield films, I feel like there's not really any major connection.
What do you mean all?
There's 3.
What's the other one?
10, I think it's the Cloverfield Paradox. I haven't watched it, but I know that there is.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Hey, they're all like, again, hardly connected, but they just share the Cloverfield name.
Yeah.
So this one basically follows Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I want to say. He's getting his letter boxed up. I need to check this.
God's sake, Michael.
Oh, no. But yeah, anyway, follows her character as she
woman.
Gets... Follows woman. Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Follows her as she gets stuck in a bunker with John Goodman's character.
Woohoo, John Goodman.
Yeah, who I love John Goodman. He's great.
You too love John Goodman. Yeah, all the way through the film, Michael was just going, oh, I do love John Goodman.
He's good.
I do really love John Goodman.
Yeah, like, I really like him as an actor. I really like him.
He is brilliant in this.
Yeah,
like he is absolutely brilliant in this. He's hilarious, but in like not an obvious, like he's not like cracking jokes.
No,
just the way he like delivers his lines.
Yeah,
I guess
she's stuck in a bunker with his character Howard, who's like a conspiracy theorist guy, and there's this whole. I don't mind doing spoilers for this because of how old the film is. It's 2016.
So, spoilers.
Because basically the whole thing is she gets stuck in this bunker. He's like, I rescued you. There's been this chemical attack on the surface
world. Well, she
kidnaps
him, doesn't he? He doesn't.
Well,
he kidnaps her.
Well. Basically. Does he, though?
Well, I suppose that is the...
the movie.
No. He definitely kidnaps her, but we don't know whether the reason for the kidnap is true. Because what he says is... There's been an alien invasion. There's fallout from a nuclear bomb. You can't go outside. You'll die. I was trying to get home and, you know, I found you on the side of the road after you crashed your car. So I've actually just like saved you. Like you should be thanking me. And the whole thing is her thinking, do I believe him? Is this true? Or has he just kidnapped me to, you know, whatever, just to hold me hostage? So it is really weird. And there's a little bit of, what's it called? Where like you fall in love with your kidnapper.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. It's like that, isn't it? Because he is providing a lot for her, and you know, she's got a bed and she's got food and water, and she can roam freely, obviously in the confines of the bunker. He's in there as well, so it's a really like, it is very tense, like even when there's like normal things happening, like them doing a jigsaw, there's always that underlying like,
well,
oh my god, what's going on.
The film is just a series of peaks and troughs really in terms of like where the mystery goes, because it's kind of like, you know, oh no, I'm trapped in this bunker, what's going to happen? Oh wait, he saved me from a nuclear attack or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, but has there really been a nuclear attack? I'm going to try and go outside. Yeah. So she tries to break outside, but that's when she realizes, oh no, something has happened.
Because she sees somebody else.
Yeah, crazy woman's like trying to break into the bunker, like what's happening here?
Yeah.
You know, did he run me off the road to try and kidnap me? And then he tells her, no, I crashed into your car by accident and I saved you as like penance for what I did because I was trying to rush home. And it's all this thing. Because then they do coexist in the bunker, like her, John Goodman's character, and then Emmett, who's another guy trapped in the bunker who, you know, John Goodman didn't want there. Like, he basically forced his way in because he knew the bunker was there. He helped build the bunker, so he's kind of like, this attack
happened. Because he was like a survivalist, is it?
Howard is.
Person.
Yeah, Howard is, yeah. He's a conspiracy theorist. He built this
bunker.
What was
it called, though? Are they called
survivalists? Yeah. So he, you know, broke his way into the bunker. And it's kind of, they do coexist for a time, but then there's just more, like, seeds of doubt that get placed into, like, what Howard's actually doing and what his motivations are for them in the bunker. And, yeah, it's just very, like, the tension's really good. John Goodman's great in it.
He's
again,
brilliant.
He does play this guy who's just very, like, you know, he is... stickler with like the details and stuff in the bunker, like, oh, you guys, like, you know, get this, like, you need to change your clothes, like, he's a clean freak and stuff like this, like, you'll get contamination from outside if you stay next to the doors or the air system. It's just like, you know, all this stuff, and like, he's built this place. And then also he's got this thing of like, he'll just lose his cool if you're like, you know, because Emmett and like Mary Elizabeth Winstead's character like touch each other, like you pass the salt and he just loses it to be like, what the hell do you think you're doing? And he like carries a gun around.
He likes to be in control, doesn't he? That's the thing. If there's anything that happens where they're feeling a little bit too comfortable in their scenario, then he comes in and, you know, starts mouthing off.
Because we need to say, his whole thing is like, kind, like, it's again not expressly kind of said, but he is maybe like a predator kind of thing, like, or he likes to kidnap girls.
This is the thing, you don't really know what to believe.
Yeah, because he tells, oh, this is a picture of my daughter, I love her so much, she's with her mum because I lost a custody battle. But then like the picture gets shown to Emmett and he's like, oh, that's not his daughter, that's this girl who went missing like 2 years ago.
And it's just like, and oh, I found her earring.
What's Howard doing?
You're second guessing yourself just as much as the woman in the film is, and that's why it's so good.
So it's kind of like her, Mary, with what a long name.
Stop saying her name.
Anyway, Mary, she tries to get out of the bunker, is sort of her goal. So she builds like a hazmat suit. There's a good like confrontation with Howard, like in the end, because like, you know, that's when it's just her, because Emma gets killed by Howard later on. She tries to escape. He gets knocked into some acid. And yeah, she just escapes the bunker. And this is kind of where the film goes downhill a little bit for me. And that is the ending, because then there's like,
basically, you learn what the actual thing is. And, you know, that he wasn't lying, that there are aliens. Which part of me was like, oh, did I want it to be true or did I not want it to be true? But then there's this whole scene of her getting attacked by this alien and having to fight it. And then, like, you know, and then running away. And John Goodman's dead at this point. Like, he blows up. Like, he doesn't get a satisfying ending.
No, he doesn't get a satisfying ending
at all.
No.
Like, she doesn't stab him or, you know, you don't see him crawling out away from the flames and then slowly dying or anything like that. Like, nothing that. He just blows up. And we're focusing on this alien. And it's like, I don't... The whole point of this film was that you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's real or not. So right at the end of the film, you learn what's real. And you're like, oh my God, he was telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you expect it to end. And it's like, no, it's still going. And then it gives you too much information at that point. Yeah. Like, I didn't want to know what the alien was.
I think it's them trying too hard. Like, again, you've got the Cloverfield name. Obviously, the first film has a monster in it. It's kind of like, oh, well, it won't be a Cloverfield film if there's no...
Yeah. Like somebody came and said, oh, I've got some brilliant script here of this thriller where somebody's been kidnapped. And, oh, it's going to be brilliant. And they go, yeah, that looks great, but we're not going to make any money off this film. We need to attach it to something.
Yeah.
Let's do Cloverfield again, but just stick the alien in on the end because you've already got that vibe going on anyway. And that's what it feels like. It just feels like an add-on, which doesn't work at all. In fact, it nearly ruined the film for me.
Mm-hmm.
If the beginning part of the film wasn't so good, it would have completely ruined it and I would have said it was rubbish. But that part of the film, and I said, somebody on YouTube, it's probably already been done but we've not seen it, needs to do like an edit where they just take off that end bit where you learn that there is real aliens but she thinks she's escaped but actually she's not escaped because there's now real aliens, but we don't see any of that. It's just she learns it and she's like, oh God, like I've gone out of the frying pan into the fire.
I think they could have kept the twist the same and just not done the final like fight sequence where she like blows up the alien ship. It should have just been she gets out, gets in the car, drives away, and that's when there's like the lightning flash and you see the alien spaceship
and
in the
sky.
You
learn that there is aliens.
Because I like the twist that Howard was right. Like, is it kind of like almost makes him the good guy in like a weird, because again, you know, he has sinister motivations, but he also did save these people by letting them into his bunker. And like, you know, they could have had a fate worse than death being slaves to
aliens.
Yes,
he may be a predator and he may be doing it for the wrong reasons, but he has still saved their lives.
Which is why I like his character, because like he definitely like it's this mixture of like he has good intentions but also like not good intentions. So it's
always good to be able to, if there's like a villain in like even like a superhero film, like you always want there, it can't just be, oh, I'm gonna take over the world. Like if there's a real like intention and motivation there that you can be like, oh, I kind of get it, kind of understand it, you know, then that's what makes it better. And I think that's
that's why thrillers are good, because it's basically just, you know, it's a commentary on like the human condition and what like humans do. Because I mean, we were talking about like when we were watching the movie, because it's kind of like they suspect he's done something, and I was kind of like, yeah, but like the world's ended, so like if it was us in that situation, would you kind of be like, yeah, but
I know,
we're also like, living here with him and he knows how to run this bunker, so I think I said
like if we were in that situation and you'd been kidnapped by some crazy man but the aliens had taken over, you've got a home, you've got a roof over your head, you've got food, would you just be like, you know, I'm just going to go along with this because I'm alive and I'll deal with stuff like later on when there's not aliens.
So
it is interesting.
Yeah, I'd give it an 8 because, again, despite the last like quarter of the movie, it's still just a really good
thriller.
It's
worth it. Like, it's worth watching the... Just once she gets out, just turn it off.
Just
turn it off. But that beginning bit... Brilliant. Enjoyed it.
Would you give it an 8 as well?
Or? Yeah, I probably would, just for the ending. But everything apart from the ending, 10 out of 10, I think.
There we go.
Ideal.
But there you have it. That's been this week's edition. This, fuck's sake. Okay. But there you have it. That's been this edition of Previously On. Hope you guys enjoyed. We wanted to throw a few just bite-sized recommendations your way. I'm sure if we really pushed it, we could have talked about these films and TV shows like for an hour or so. But you know what? It's just nice to give you guys a list of stuff to go watch. Check it out. You know, let us know what you think. Mm-hmm. We're on social media. We're on TikTok. We're on Twitter. All that jazz. But I want to thank you in the meantime for tuning in to this episode of the Cinematic Trinity. I've been Michael.
And I've been Tulip.
See you guys next time.